Please open with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Thank you, Juan. And we are going to read just a short passage, verses 1 to 3. Titled the message, Living a Practical Christian Life. As we come to the latter chapters of the book of Hebrews, we have moved away from doctrine into practical Christian living. And whenever I come to that, I'd like us to slow up a little bit, because this is where the rubber meets the road in all of our lives. We need to apply these principles to the situations of life that we encounter. And so I hope that the remainder of the passages that we have will be a blessing, and that the sermons will be a help to you. Follow along as I read. The writer says, "Let brotherly love continue." Just four words in that verse, but it is just chock full with the practical Christian teaching. Verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." Father, sometimes this is the hardest thing for us to do. And yet, you admonish your children to continue in loving acts of compassion, loving acts of hospitality and generosity. God help us. May the church be a place where people can come to and know that they're loved, and that we can do our best to share with them. Father, hide me behind the cross. May this message not only touch every heart here, but mine as well. Do a work with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The writer speaks in this passage about entertaining angels unaware. The Jewish people that he was writing to reverenced angels. And so he provokes them not to go back to Judaism by the admonition in this passage. In the book entitled Angels, God's Secret Agents, was the late evangelist Dr. Billy Graham, who said, and I quote, "I am convinced that these heavenly beings exist and that they provide unseen aid on our behalf," unquote. Do you know that there was a time, and I remember it vividly, that there was great interest that abound about these angelic creatures. The 1990s saw an explosion of interest and fascination about angels. In fact, the TV series Touched by an Angel was ranked in the top 10 of television shows from the year 1996 to the year 2000. That is how popular the subject was. I remember it vividly because I remember us having Sunday night services from 7 to 8. And if I didn't get done from to 8 o'clock, they were all letting me know, "Touch by an angel, Lord." And my wife and I, we would go home and watch it too. I still enjoy watching some of the episodes that are repeated. Back in those years, Time Magazine and Newsweek ran articles, front page displays of their articles. In fact, I still have copies of those articles in my file entitled All About Angels. But it's sad to report, according to Barna Research, Probably about the year 2008, a survey was done that only 55% of all Americans believe in angels or guardian angels. I think interest today is more into vampires, sad to say, and they don't exist. Angels do. The writer of Hebrews mentions that we are to be hospitable to strangers if we are to prove our love for others. Maybe God is calling us in a way to be an angel to people in need. And so as the writer of Hebrews brings this letter to a close, he has some very powerful exhortation for you and me. And that is because our belief determines how we live. It's one thing to know doctrine. And a big part of the book of Hebrews is all about doctrine. And doctrine is very important. But what good is doctrine if you know doctrine but you don't apply it to the situations of life that you live? Faith without works is dead. So this chapter has three essentials for living the Christian life. The first is about brotherly love. The other two we're going to, Lord willing, pick up in sermons afterward. We are to persist in love. And I'd like to add to that both agape love and phileto. And I'll explain that in a minute. The author puts it like this: let brotherly love continue. Just four short words. And I got to thinking about that as I was studying. Why would he at the very beginning of this particular passage exhort them? Then I got to thinking about the times that this was written. You know, most of these people were going through very difficult times. A lot of them thought about going back to Judaism because going back to Judaism would be a place of comfort and complacency. They wouldn't have to stand up for what they believed. Being the children of the way meant that you could be persecuted, even martyred, for your belief. And so he says, let love, brotherly love, continue. And I think even in our own lives, when we're going through difficult times and the finances aren't there and we have marital problems and relationship problems, we forget to be kind to others. And you know, the most important time for you to show compassion and love is when you're going through a difficult time. And that's why he's exhorting. I could keep you here telling you story after story of people who their lives were in turmoil, but it didn't stop caring about other people. And it was through that time of taking your eyes off yourself and looking at other people and seeing that they have needs too, that God blessed them back to the place where they didn't have those struggles. And so the author is admonishing them. Don't give up loving others. We all have a tendency to become complacent and even stop that which we know to be good in our walk with the Lord, to encourage others. I think the saying in our hearts and our minds, and though we would probably never say it audibly, I got enough problems of my own. Amen? Let's be honest, you know, we worship God in spirit and truth. You know, when Hurricane Dorian hit, one of the things that came to my mind is, well, that's not our country. But then I was reminded that God has called us to be compassionate to all people. And we ought to give. Do what we can. You certainly can pray. But he admonishes us not to stop doing the good because we're having problems in our life. You know, you're going to have problems in your life all the time. It'll come in, you know, bits and pieces and spurts. Paul, I remind you, and I know most of you know Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, But in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. And so this is just another way of saying, just keep on keeping on. Let brotherly love continue. The word translated brotherly love, it comes from the Greek word Philadelphia. And we're all familiar with that word because our patriotic forefathers named the first capital Philadelphia. And they were conveying the concept that the city was a city of brotherly love. And it was back then. My wife and I lived not even 5 miles from the city of brotherly love for many years. And I hate to tell you, I used to say it's not so much brotherly love anymore. But certainly the church ought to be a place where there's brotherly love. The Greek New Testament reveals 4 words, and they are indiscriminately translated into 1 English word, love. And I was mentioning in my Sunday school class that sometimes when you translate from one language to another, there's not the vehicle to put the more complicated language in the words of the other language. And that's the case with some of the words about love. They carry different meanings. For example, there's the word eros. And the word eros is where we get our English word erotic. And so the Greek word eros conveys the idea of erotic love or sexual love. Now the word itself is not used in the Bible, but there's reference to it. I'll explain that in a minute. But there's another word, it's called storge in Greek, and it is the kind of love that you have, you know, for your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your cousins, you know, your nieces, things like that. Family love. Affection for family, storge. And these 2 words, eros and storge, they do not explicitly appear in the Bible. The concept of them certainly does, and on a number of occasions, I find that especially the word storge is attached as a compound word to other Greek words. And so, although the word itself may not be there, the concept of eros and storge are there in the Bible. But certainly the word phileto, which is a noun in Greek, which means brotherly love, love or brotherly love, the kind of love that you have for others, the affection that you have. Now, the ancient Greek word, which is a little bit different than even today's Greek, spoke of friendship, partnership, affection. And so the writer uses it here for the church. We ought to be affectionate with one another. Compassionate for one another. It is the love of a deep friendship, partnership. Brotherly love is not mere sentiment. It's not superficial affection. The Greek word conveys the idea of a deep, compassionate concern for your brethren. And this is how we are to care for one another and those that serve the Lord. And there's a lot in those 4 words, but I got to stop there. We need to move on. There should always be this kind of love among Christians and in the Church of Christ. And it should continue. I've already alluded to the fact that sometimes when we're going through difficult times, we stop being compassionate and giving and loving and kind because, hey, we're going through a difficult time too. But it is when we give sacrificially that we're actually incorporating agape love. That is the greatest love. And the word agape, or apago, one's a noun, one's a verb, conveys sacrificial love. Both are very important. Both are part of the New Testament church. God gave of His Son, and whenever it speaks of that love, it's talking about apagio, or agape. It is the love of sacrifice. John, in his epistle, 1 John, said in chapter 3, verse 17, listen, I quote, "But whoso hath this world's goods," you know, you're okay, you're doing well, "but you see your brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion." Now, we don't talk like that, we would say a heart of compassion. "How dwelleth the love of God in him?" In other words, how can you say that you love your brethren, you know your brethren has need? Now, you may not be able to help with all of their needs, but you certainly can do a little something. Amen? You see, if we have the resources, or if we have the money, but lack compassion, where is the love of God? And I could take you to passage after passage. Again, we go back to James. James talks about this in chapter 2. I think the first 4 or 5 verses. It's one thing to see your brethren have need, know all about it, and just tell them, well, go on and be better. Just be better. If we love God, then we need to love others, even unsaved people, people who are going through difficult times. But you know, the church should be the first to aid in situations like Hurricane Dorian. Amen? And I can tell you that the first people on the ground there, I think were the Red Cross, but right with them was Samaritan's Purse. And that's where I go, and that's where I went to give a donation of compassion. I wish I could kind of go there, but it's kind of far away, and I would probably just get in the way. But I can pray, amen? And we will do that, of course, again this Wednesday night as we pray for the people in the Bahamas and on our East Coast. We need to be full of compassion even when we're going through difficult times. So, yeah, but I can barely pay my bills. Can you give $5? Can you give $1? Don't give up. It says continue with brotherly love. I got to move on. The second point is that brotherly love needs to persist. It needs to continue. But brotherly love also shows hospitality and generosity. He says, therefore, we must not forget to entertain strangers. Interesting, the word entertain, in English, it doesn't even convey the concept, but the word phileto is a root word to the word. It's a compound word. And it has the word love strangers. Because by doing, some have unknowingly entertained angels. What's that about? I'm glad you asked. This is a reference to Abraham, who entertained 3 angels. At first he was unaware of that. One of whom turned out to be a Christophany, the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. So where's that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked again. Genesis 18, verses 1 to 10. Go get some time later on. Go read the passage. Abraham entertained angels. He provided food and lodging for them before they went into Sodom. You never know why God sends certain people your way, or even to our church. Maybe you and I can kind of be an angel to them. God loves you, and He has provided special care for you and your loved ones. And angels are all around us. And you know what? They do God's bidding. It is a way that God tells you He loves you. There are angels doing things for you you don't even know about. Amen? And I know, because I did this study twice, all about angels. One was a journey study, and one was my own study from angelology that I had when I was in the university in Pennsylvania. Angels are important to people of Jewish faith. This is why the writer says this. Well, you know what? Some have entertained angels. They reverenced angels. Hebrews, remember, is written to Jewish Christians. Converted Jews is another way of saying it. And by the way, Jews can come to Christ. Amen? How do you do that? Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Don't take them to the New Testament. They'll just walk away. Take them to the Messianic Psalms. And there's a number of those. And if you want them, I'll give them to you. Off the top of my head, I can't remember the exact number. But they're there. So Hebrews was written to these Jewish Christians who had a very high view of angels. Most Jews believed that angels were beings second only to God. When we study our Bible, we find they're actually on the scale of God, third. Say, what? Yep, we are God's crown and creation. Paul said, right now we're a little lower than the angels, but the day is coming where we'll be exalted above them. They're here to serve us. Okay? In power and glory right now, yes, they're above us. So, to keep these Jewish believers from drifting away and going back and becoming complacent, leaving their newfound faith and lapsing back into Judaism, they had to be convinced by the writer that Jesus Christ is superior to angels. We already had that doctrine. We already went through those passages. Jewish tradition assigned a prominent place to angels, particularly in the revelation of the Mosaic Law. You can see that when you read the Old Testament. And so he draws on this very special reverence to call them back to hospitality, to call them back to their faith, to call them back to Jesus Christ, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Angels, they exist. I hope all of you believe that. If you don't, you need to get into your Bible and read the Bible and focus on angelology. Angels are by nature invisible. But that does not mean that they don't exist. God allows them at various times to appear in various forms. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it don't exist. I can't see the air, but I'm breathing it. Hey, by the way, there are tiny creatures we can't see without a what? Microscope. We call that the microscopic world. And it refers to things that humans cannot see with the naked eye, but when it's put under a microscope, you go, whoa, where'd that come from? Scientists today have the tools to visualize the detailed structures and the very, very dynamic processes inside a living cell and get down to seeing to the very heart of the DNA. That's how advanced today's microscopes are. They can reveal everything from the secretion of insulin in pancreatic cells to the chemical crossfires that happen in the living brain tissue. Isn't that amazing? But you can't see it with the naked eye. And somebody said, well, they don't exist if I can't see it, but they're there. Angels do exist. And it's sad that I read and studied this week from George Barner's website how there's been a decline in the belief of angels. They were created by God. They exist. The Bible says in Hebrews, and we've already studied Hebrews 1:7, that they are ministers of God. And that they minister to God's people. And of course they minister and carry out the plan of God. There's a lady by the name of Joan Webster Anderson. How many have heard of Joan? None of you? Come on. She's one of the most prolific American authors on the subject of human experiences with angels. She tells remarkable stories, and they line up with the scriptures. She tells the story of two pilots, And by the way, the story I'm going to tell you, I've heard stuff exactly like this from people. She tells the story of two pilots in a very small plane flying in a fog. They were unable to land the plane. They feared they were going to die. A voice came over the speaker and talked them down into a small airport. They had no idea it was there. They landed safely. But then they discovered as they got out of the plane that the airport was closed and there was nobody in the tower. And what was even more mind-boggling is they were so off course that no other airport could have contacted them. Isn't that amazing? I had a man tell me that he almost was hit by a train. He was crossing the tracks down here in Dover. And he heard a voice that told him, get out of the way. And he said, if I hadn't heard that voice, I would have probably got hit by that train. And he looked around and there was no one. She tells another story about a mom. She was driving some children along with her daughter to their school. She pulled up across the street from the entrance, and there were many other cars pulling in that driveway, and she got out and helped them cross the street. But she didn't realize she had closed and locked the door. Not something you want to do with kids in there, or a dog. And she said she tried every door, but to no avail. She was panicking. And she ran into the school to get a coat hanger. And she ran out to the car, which was idling very fast. And she said, I remember saying, oh dear God, please help me. In that very split second, a man, she had no idea where this man came from. He was dressed up in kind of 19th century clothing. I don't know what that means. He says to her, man, looks like you can need some help. And that's all he said. And in a minute, he had the door unlocked. She was so happy. She said, thank you so much. She reached down in her car like this to grab her pocketbook when she turned around. Gone. Some of you have had this experience. I know you've told me. Remember one time I had that experience. Gone. And you just go over it and over it and over. How could a person be here 1 minute and go on the next? There's no way. You go up the street, go down the street. There's no way somebody could get away that quick. That's because God is aware of your needs. Other people have told me similar stories. They just disappear. You know what that tells me? God loves you. God cares about you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You say, what about that time when this happened and that happened? Well, I can't answer all that. I just know that God is aware. Yes, and we live in a fallen world. We have to figure that in, factoring what's going on all around us. Where there is true Christian love, there will be people that care, just as God cares and sends angels to minister to us. We're to emulate the things of God. He says, so don't forget to entertain strangers. And again, it's interesting to read that in the Greek because the word phileto, which is part of the word Philadelphia, is in there. Phila comes from the Greek word phileto. Adelphia is brother. And then we see in verse 3, again, remind it. Now, don't forget and remember are the same thing, aren't they? So he's, verse 3 says, now remember them that are in bonds. You know, there are people in prison that don't belong in prison. Haven't done a thing. What's even sadder is there are so many people in prison, in other countries mostly, whose only crime is that they love the Lord. And they're being persecuted for being a Christian, for having the Bible. I wonder how many are in the prisons in China. Because someone smuggled a Bible in there and they got caught. I remember missionary Woody. How many remember Woody came with the wooden dummy? Sunny Day. No one remembers Sunny Day? Yeah. He's passed on now. My wife and I always have a funny story about Woody and Sonny. When he came here to Wingdale, at the airport, they lost his dummy. And he wasn't leaving that airport till he got it back. And I said, Woody, we got to go. He goes, I can't leave without Sonny. I said, Woody, I've got puppets back at the church you could use. That was so offensive to him, I had to apologize. But anyway, Woody, when he was here, asked me if I'd be willing to go to China with him and smuggle Bibles into China. He said, but Pastor Messina, I want you to know if you get caught, I don't know you. So I'm going to languish in a Chinese prison for the rest of my life and you don't know me. Said all that just to tell you there are people in prisons that don't belong there. Don't forget those that are in bonds. And there are people in prisons that they need love. Do you know the whole story of Jenny and Mike? Some of you might remember. Jenny ministered to Mike by cards and letters. Then she went in to meet him. She didn't forget those in prison. We ought to be mindful to pray for those who are in prison because the Bible tells us that the church ought to be doing that. And then to remember them who suffer adversity. And we do that here. And I appreciate all of you because you give so generously the people that are hurting and going through adversity. And it tells us that we ought to do for them as it being our own body. Amen? I think that we can become more compassionate people, and I'm done, if we could just for a moment put ourselves in another person's shoes. I've tried to do that in situations in our church. Because God loves you, and maybe your heart's broken over something, and you're wondering, where's the love of God? Ladies and gentlemen, we have to emulate the Lord. We have to show the love of God. Amen? The world's not going to do it like we're supposed to do it. As I said, we ought to be first to aid the victims of any catastrophe or tragedy. And I'm so thankful for Samaritan's Purse. Do you know that, I believe, don't quote me, but I do believe it's the first two or three weeks of any catastrophe, 100% goes to the victims. Believe me, I have studied this, and I don't know anybody that does that. In fact, I called some like World Vision. Some of them give 5 cents on a dollar, 10 cents on the dollar. The rest goes to them, you know, for their jets, their vacations to these special, all this nonsense. We have to close. If you're here today and you're struggling with this kind of love, ask yourself, am I saved? Do I know if I die, I'll be absent from this body of flesh, but I'll be present with God? You see, it takes a saved person to have the Holy Spirit. And once you have the Holy Spirit will bring compassion to your heart. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray that all here today have come to know Christ as their Savior. I pray that each one will have compassion for others. Even those, Lord God, who are going through difficult times in their own life. May they know the secret to the success and overcoming tribulation is to die to self. May we be reminded that Jesus said a seed must die in order to live. God, may we die to ourselves, but we could be alive to other people's needs and thereby have you bless us back as you would. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you for the wonderful ministering spirits that we know as angels. And we know that they're there for us. And we know at times they do miraculous things. And it is a display of your love for us. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our songbook and close our service for 342. Let's stand.